Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and vibrate your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. The line it is drawn and the curse it is cast, this slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
They certainly are. Hello, everybody. Friday, 5 p.m., a little bit after 5 now, of course. Welcome to American Net Radio here at WHPC 90.3 FM. The show, of course, is American Hit Radio. On Friday, we have our How Music Changed edition. I have my lovely wife, Heidi Morales Ryan, here with me to help keep me on track, shake me, make sure I stay awake for the rest of the program.
That's a tough order.
And Earl Holder engineering us, holding all things together. Today, we have our third installment of show number 133, if you could believe that. This is a fairly in-depth look at the music of the 20th century that we intend to is exactly what we intend to do here on Fridays. And when I say show number 133, that means all things Bob Dylan. We're going to be discussing the history of Dylan, the relevance of Dylan throughout his career, in a chronological order, as close to chronological as we can manage to keep it, so that it stays logical anyway. And this is our third show.
Is interesting. That artistic license?
Yes, exactly. The thing is, there's so much to cover about Dylan, especially in the early days, that we have to move slowly to be sure that we capture the essence of what he's about. I really want to thank Bob and Arlene Levinson for helping out last week. They were here for our second installment on Dylan, and it was brilliant. It was a lot of fun, and it was great and really informative, and I really miss them today. I wish they were here today. It's my own fault. I had a difficult week, and I meant to call Bob and Arlene, and I kind of blew it, so I apologize to them. Hopefully, they'll forgive me, and I can get them to come back perhaps next week, or we can arrange something where we see them in increments as we go work our way through Dylan. But today, we're going to be looking at Dylan's third album. We just heard the title song, The Times They Are a-Changin'. And that wasn't the version from the album, actually. That was a version that came out not that long ago. It was a bonus track on a single disc from the Love and Theft album. It was a bonus disc, and that was one of the songs on there. And, of course, it's a song everybody's familiar with. The whole world knows it. It's just a slightly different version, so I figured I'd play that for you. The thing about this album that makes it incredibly interesting to me, Dylan's third album, The Times They Are Changing, is that I think it's the first time that Dylan gave the people what they wanted. And maybe the last time as well. I refer to Bob and the way that he does things. He's a bit of a contrarian. He never really gives people what they expect. He always seems to move off target. This is probably the one time that he did not do that. He had defined himself on his previous album, Freewheelin' Bob Dylan, as a folk singer, this new breed of folk singer who could write his own songs and speak about things that were relevant politically. He didn't want to call them protest songs.
While denying that the whole while.
Right, but the fact of the matter was he was writing songs and the subjects were topical, and it made him famous. And here he was, you know, his third album is due, and for the first and only time in his career, he really did what people expected. He wrote an entire album of topical songs. He wrote every song on this album. There's no cover songs whatsoever. Everything was written by him, and almost every song anyway has got some sort of a topical bent to it. There's a few that are personal, but for the most part, you know that you see that he's trying to basically write something not so much about the left or the right or Democrat or Republican. He's not taking any sort of stance in that regard, but he seems to be straddling the line between the haves and the have-nots, or the establishment and the anti-establishment. And he obviously lets the anti-establishment have it right between the eyes often without necessarily siding with the anti-establishment at the same time. It's a fairly interesting line that he managed to straddle for this album. And most of the songs ended up being fairly bleak. It's almost like he took the ideas of the one really dark song from his previous album, Masters of War, and extrapolated on it. Said, I kind of like the way that worked. I'm thinking, being Dylan's voice here, what was this? I decided I should maybe do more of that. And I think that's what he came up with on this album. Mm-hmm. And the result is a really powerful set of songs that is dark and maybe interestingly, paradoxically, although it's the album that he gave everybody what they want, it was probably one of the most difficult albums to listen to because of its dark subject matter. Here is a perfect example of that. It's the second track on the album, and I think it speaks for itself as far as its bleak subject matter, but a very intense song entitled The Ballad of Hollis Brown.
Hollis Brown, he lived on the outside of town. Hollis Brown, he lived on the outside of town. With his wife and five children and his cabin broken down. He looked for work and money, and you walked a ragged mile. You looked for work and money, and you walked a ragged mile. Your children are so hungry that they don't know how to smile. Your baby's eyes look crazy, they're tugging at your sleeve. Your baby's eyes look crazy, they're tugging at your sleeve. You walk the floor and wonder why with every breath you breathe. The rats had got your flower, bad blood had got your mare. The rats had got your flower, bad blood had got your mare. If there's anyone that knows, is there anyone that cares? He prayed to the Lord above, oh, please send you a friend. You prayed to the Lord above, oh, please send you a friend. Your empty pockets tell you that you ain't got no friend. Your babies are crying louder now, it's a pounding on your brain. Your baby's a crying louder now, it's a pounding on your brain. Your wife's screams are stabbing you like the dirty driving rain. Your grass is turning black, there's no water in your well. Your grass is turning black, there's no water in your well. You spent your last long dollar on seven shotgun shells. Way out in the wilderness, a cold coyote calls. Way out in the wilderness, a cold coyote calls. Your eyes fix on the shotgun that's hanging on the wall. Your brain is a-bleeding and your legs can't seem to stand. Your brain is a-bleeding and your legs can't seem to stand. Your eyes fix on the shotgun that you're holding in your hand. There's seven breezes blowing all around the cabin door. There's seven breezes blowing all around the cabin door. Seven shots ring out like the ocean's pounding roar. There's seven people dead on a South Dakota farm. There's seven people dead on a South Dakota farm. Somewhere in the distance, there's seven new people born.
That's some interesting guitar playing, actually, on a very bleak song. Obviously, you hear that Dylan basically...
Well, he's sticking to a very sort of traditional style of folk-style writing, you know, picking up stories of desperation.
It's really absolutely true. If you listen to like the anthology of folk music that we cover from time to time on our program, and we talk about how influential that is, so many of those songs are death and murder songs, you know, ballads. About that sort of thing, and this fits into that mold perfectly.
Perfect.
It just couldn't be better, and it's the ultimate example of like that sense of hopelessness that affects, you know, people who are not fitting into American society, and it's pretty much exactly what Dylan was, you know, was really trying to do here. Was pretty much cover the ways that certain people fell through the cracks or were falling through the cracks in the middle of this great American dream. One thing that's worth mentioning is like when he was recording the songs for this album, for The Times They Are Changing, he had one really great day. I believe it was August 13th. On August 13th, I'm not sure if I got the right day here, actually. I would like to get the date right. But no, I'm sorry. It was August 7th. He recorded four songs, and four songs were used on the album. That was the first. And I want to play all four of the songs that he recorded on this day just to say, wow, it's amazing. It could actually... do that work.
Show how prolific he was.
Exactly. All in one day. The next track is called With God on Our Side. There's an interesting story about this also, since we're talking about folk tradition and stuff, Heidi. We mentioned how Dylan has often found songs that were part of the, old
lexicon.
Ancient songs, or right, things that were traditional or writer unknown, that he would take the melody and then write new words for it, or he'd take a Woody Guthrie song and write a song to Woody Guthrie using the Woody Guthrie song. He was always getting away with it, and a lot of other people were able to do the same simply because these songs were old and nobody was really objecting to it.
What, you mean like child ballad type
thing? Exactly, taking like the child ballads that were numbered and cataloged and saying, okay, this is really good source material. I'll use bits and pieces of this to inspire me to a new idea. So when Dylan took that trip to England that we talked about last week, when he was over there, he was hearing a bunch of different songs. And he heard one songwriter, a guy by the name of Dominic Behan, had written a pretty popular Irish ballad called Patriot Game. All about the problems that the Irish were having and how, like, it's basically about the IRA and whether or not by joining the IRA, it could mean you'd end up getting killed because of the fact that you are a patriot for your mm-hmm. country, and how being a patriot can actually lead to your death one way or another. And it's a very moving song. And the thing is, you know, Dylan heard it, and Dylan wrote this song called With God on Our Side, which has pretty much the same basic idea in a much more general way,
uh-huh.
but it's this same thing about saying, take a step back and think about what it is that you're doing in the name of your country. And he uses the exact melody from Patriot Game. So when this guy Dominic Behan heard the song, he was livid. He went crazy. He called Dylan a thief, threatened to sue him, said, you stole my song. And if you heard them back to back, it's very, very obvious where Dylan did get the source from. I mean, I don't need to play it simply because there's so many examples of this. It's just one that's fairly obvious. Nothing came of it, but I think Dylan was a little bit more careful from this point forward, actually, about whether or not he was going to take a melody from a popular singer-songwriter who is contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
That was obviously something that could be very, very, very tricky.
That's a touchy subject there.
The whole folk matter of grabbing an older song is fine, but newer material was a bit tough. But nevertheless, here is the melody and the gist lyrically by this originally by Dominic Behan on a song called Patriot Game. Here's Dylan rewriting it as With God on Our Side.
Oh, my name, it ain't nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up there, the laws to abide, and that the land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charged, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on its side. The Spanish American War had its day, and the Civil War too was soon laid away, and the names of the heroes I was made to memorize, with guns in their hands and God on their side. The First World War, boys, it came and it went. The reason for fighting I never did get, but I learned to accept it with pride. For you don't count the dead when God's on your side. The the Second World War came to an end. We forgave the Germans, and then we were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. I learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. To hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely with God on my side. But now we got weapons of chemical dust. If I them were forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button, and it shot the world wide. And you never ask questions when God's on your side. Through many dark hours, I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you'll have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. So now, as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling, ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head, and I fall to the floor. That if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war.
Now, although it's quite obvious that Dylan had borrowed the melody and maybe even the inspiration for the lyric, it still is quite a remarkable piece of work, lyrically. Excuse me. It, especially the way that he sums it up at the end and forces you to perhaps start thinking for yourself in these issues, rather than letting you know all of your decisions be made for you by your governments. It seems to be what he's saying, and it's very interesting, very unique. It's something that only Dylan really was doing in America at that time, and in a sense about being. I say managing to be political without being having an agenda. He certainly did not seem to toe anybody's party line, and he was not a traditional left leaning artist, as you would as a lot of the folk artists of that time were. Although he certainly had an awful lot to say on issues such as civil rights, and he was probably the most eloquent writer by far on that issue. As the third song that was recorded on that day. attests. This song is absolutely brilliant. It's about the murder of Medgar Evers. Now, Medgar Evers was an official in the NAACP who was murdered blindly by somebody, a coward, essentially, who just killed him and hid and ran. And Dylan decided to address it from the perspective of a poor white person. And it's really interesting that he manages to show in this song with a huge degree of intelligence how the poor white people are just as affected by racism as black people were, or at least that they're being used in the exact same way by the powers that be. And again, like I said, you know, by the establishment, which is something that Dylan is not siding with at all throughout this entire album. And I think you'll get the gist of his point quite bluntly on this song, as is inferred by the title itself. Here's Dylan singing, "Only a pawn in their game."
A bullet from the back of a bush took Medgar Evers' blood. A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim. Behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game. The South politician preaches to the poor white man. You got more than the blacks, don't complain. You're better than them, you've been born with white skin, they explain. And the Negro's name is used, it is plain, for the politician's gain as he rises to fame. And the poor white remains on the caboose of the train, but it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. The deputy sheriffs, the soldiers, the governors get paid. And the marshals and cops get the same. But the poor white man's used in the hands of them all like a tool. He's taught in his school from the start by the rule that the laws are with him to protect his white skin, to keep up his hate, so he never thinks straight about the shape that he's in. But it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. From the poverty shacks, he looks from the cracks to the tracks. And the hoofbeats pound in his brain. And he's taught how to walk in a pack, shoot in the back with his fist in a clinch. To hang and to lynch, to hide neath the hood, to kill with no pain, like a dog on a chain. He ain't got no name, but it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. Today Medgar Evers was buried from the bullet he caught. They're lowering him down as a king. But when the shadowy sun sets on the one that fired the gun, you'll see by his grave, on the stone that remains, carved next to his name, his epitaph plain, only a pawn in their game.
Of course, it's only a pawn in their game. It's brilliant, again, more brilliance from Dylan here, in the sense that this song, it's able to address the complexity of racism, showing how there's multiple sides to it. And like you said, Heidi, talking about being able to abuse ignorance.
Right.
Or utilize ignorance
for
the power.
Taking advantage, trying to find a scapegoat.
Now, keep in mind also that all these songs were recorded before November 1963, when John F. Kennedy was shot. So Kennedy was still alive at this time as Dylan is recording these songs. The album came out after Kennedy was shot. It came out in January 1964. And in that sense, it probably, because it was such a bleak sounding album in the first place, it really didn't do very much to uplift the spirits of the nation. And it was also interesting because at the exact same, within weeks of this album, days of this album being released, the Beatles hit America at the exact same time. It was January 1964 when all of a sudden the Beatles hit. And that changed the whole mood of the nation radically. I mean, the country obviously needed something. We were reeling from what
was
happening. The racial issues that were just not ending and going on and on and on. And then, of course, Kennedy seeming to want to enact change in so many different ways, socially, in the way that the country was headed. And then him being murdered. I think Dylan said something like, "Goes, this is their way of telling us that there's no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to change a thing." It just felt so hopeless. So that was the impact that the Beatles had at that exact same time, and that's pretty much what Dylan and the rest of the world was competing with. Want to remind you, you're listening to American Hit Radio. On Fridays, we do How Music Changed, and today we are covering Bob Dylan. I think we're going to be on Bob for a while. This is our third Bob show. We're covering his third album, called The Times They Are a Change, and all the music we're playing from today's show is from that album or from the sessions from around that time, which is to say the latter part of 1963 when it was recorded and eventually released in early 1964, as I just said. One more song was written that in that same, I shouldn't say written, but recorded in that exact same session. I mentioned four songs recorded in one day. All three of the songs we just heard were recorded then. That's The Ballad of Hollis Brown, With God on Our Side, Only a Pawn in Their Game, and this next song, which is the most personal song of the bunch. It's very interesting. This is, again, Dylan, I think I mentioned last week's show, how Dylan had gone to England, and when he was there, his girlfriend had left earlier to go to Italy, spend some time in Italy. And Dylan figured since he was in Europe, he'd be able to find her. So he went to Italy to surprise her. And at the exact time he was going to Italy, it turns out that she was coming back to America. They missed each other. And before any of this happened, she did send Bob a note saying that, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be coming home. And he took that as it hurt him, apparently. And he decided to write a song about how he felt about it. And it's pretty obvious. I shouldn't have to tell you, but you'll hear how in the song he there's this dialogue that takes place, and he keeps saying, "I don't need anything. Don't get me anything. I just want you to come home." And at the end, when he finally realizes that perhaps he suspects that her heart has changed, he decides exactly what he wants. And that's thus the name of the song. Here's Bob singing Boots of Spanish Leather.
Oh, I'm sailing away, my own true love. I'm sailing away in the morning. Is there something I can send you from across the sea? From the place that I'll be landing. No, there's nothing you can send me, my own true love. There's nothing I'm wishing to be owning, just to carry yourself back to me unspoiled. From across that lonesome ocean. Ah, but I just thought you might want something fine, made of silver or of golden, either from the mountains of Madrid or from the coast of Barcelona. But if I had the stars of the darkest night and the diamonds from the deepest ocean, I'd forsake them all for your sweet kiss. for that's all I'm wishing to be owning. But I might be gone a long old time, and it's only that I'm asking. Here's something I can send you to remember me by, to make your time more easy passing. Oh, how can you ask me again? It only brings me sorrow. This same thing I would want today, I would want again tomorrow. Oh, I got a letter on a lonesome day. It was from her ship, it's sailing, saying I don't know when I'll be coming back again. It depends on how I'm feeling. If you, my love, must think that way, I'm sure your mind is a roaming. I'm sure your thoughts are not with me, but with the country to where you're going. So take heed of the western winds. Take heed of the stormy weather. And yes, there's something you can send back to me. Spanish boots are Spanish leather.
Yeah, I guess if you're not going to be coming back, yeah, send me some boots. That's Bob Dylan, of course, from The Times They Are A-Changin'. The song is Boots of Spanish Leather. That's the fourth song, all recorded on one day in August, 1963. Around this time, to add to the complications in Bob's love life, he started touring with Joan Baez.
Uh-oh.
And eventually they did become paired up, and there was some jealousy that was going on. Sometimes Joan would sing some of the songs that Bob wrote, and one of his songs she might introduce as saying, well, that's actually a song about a relationship that's lasted a little bit too long. And, you know, and his girlfriend, Susie Rotolo, however you say her name now, I always forget it. She'd hear this and she'd be just incensed.
Livid.
So angry. But they were touring together, and Bob's appearances with Joan helped Bob, because at the time, Joan, with that, you know, had that beautiful voice, and it's what people wanted to hear. And Bob's mm-hmm. voice was so roughshod, and he just looked the part of like the working class guy. So she was lending him some credibility, and that even came to like what would happen in the hotels when they were touring. There was a famous incident where Bob was trying to check into a hotel and they wouldn't let him in. He just said he looked too ragged and he didn't look like he belonged there. He wasn't the type of clientele that they wanted. and it incensed him, and he had to literally wait in the lobby until Joan Baez showed up and vouched for him that they would let him check into the hotel. And
wow.
Just in a sense of rage, he decided to write a "You'll Get Yours" song.
Oh, I thought he was going to pull a Led Zeppelin and
tear up the
room.
No, he was a little bit more pensive than that. He did it with the guitar, so to speak. And this was Dylan's way of basically speaking his mind. Of course, he does it very artfully and disguises it in a bunch of metaphors. But it's a fairly interesting song in that light. Here's Bob singing "When the Ship Comes In."
Oh, the time will come up when then the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to be breathing. Like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins, the hour that the ship comes in. Then the sea will split and the ships will hit, and the shoreline sands will be shaking. And the tide will sound and the waves will pound, and the morning will be breaking. Oh, the fishes will laugh as they swim out of the path, and the seagulls, they'll be smiling. And the rocks on the sand will proudly stand the hour that the ship comes in. And the words that are used for to get the ship confused will not be understood as they're spoken. For the chains of the sea will have busted in the night and be buried at the bottom of the ocean. A song will lift as the mainsail shifts and the boat drifts unto the shoreline. And the sun will respect every face on the deck the hour that the ship comes in. Then the sands will roll out a carpet of gold for your weary toes to be touching. And the ship's wise men will remind you once again that the whole wide world is watching. Oh, the foes will rise with a sleep still in their eyes, and they'll jerk from their beds and think they're dreaming. But they'll pinch themselves and squeal, and they'll know that it's for real the hour that the ship comes in. Then they'll raise their hands saying, we'll meet all your demands, but we'll shout from the bow, your days are numbered. And like Pharaoh's tribe, they'll be drowned in the tide, and like Goliath, they'll be conquered.
There's Bob singing When the Ship Comes In. That's actually the piano version of that track. I figured I'd play something a little bit different. Yeah, that's not the album version per se, as it appears on the Times They Are Changing. That version is available on the Bootleg Series Volume 1 to 3 collection, which came out.
Is that a commercially available
bootleg? Oh, sure. It came out in the 90s. You know, right now, if anybody, you might notice if you are a Dylan, if you're a Dylan fan, of course you know this already, but for the past, say, 15 years now, Columbia Records and Bob have been going through their catalog of old recordings and old concerts and releasing them as the Bootleg Series, official Bob Dylan releases. All of them, and I believe they're up to six now, or seven. Maybe it's seven.
But real Dylan fans already had them all.
Some, a lot of them did. You're right.
I don't know.
Dylan fans did have a lot of this stuff already. Absolutely. But it's great to have it in this form because it's clean. It's nicely arranged. The liner notes are beautiful, and the packaging is great. And that set, the Bob Dylan Bootleg Series Volume 1 and 3 is a box with three discs in it. It's probably one of the best Dylan packages that you could buy because it's just got so much interesting material in it, and its span is phenomenal. It's great. It covers all a lot of this early stuff that we're covering on today's show, and it goes right on up into the 90s, so it's a very interesting collection. Right now, though, we're going to focus specifically on 1964, and I've got one more social song that Bob wrote that I like to play. And this is a good example, again, of the folks' tendency to write songs about current events. And this song is all about an event that took place on February 9th, 1963. It appears that there was a society ball at the Emerson Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland. And a 24-year-old, he was a tobacco farm owner, or the son of a tobacco farm owner, named William Zanzinger, was at this social society ball, and he got totally loaded. And he had one of those wooden carnival canes with him, and he kept hitting people with it. and demanding more alcohol. And there was a black woman there who was a servant whose job was to clean up and bring people what they wanted. And he started hitting her with it.
Uh-oh.
And she was horrified that he was doing this. And she got really upset. And she'd go back and she told him that, you know, maybe you shouldn't drink anymore. And then he got on, he apparently just let loose on her and gave her like a serious agita. She went to the back trying to catch her breath because he got her so upset, and she dropped dead. Pretty much had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my goodness.
And later, they basically determined that Zanzinger might have been was the cause of her death. So he was arrested and brought in and charged with murder. And Dylan writes a song about how justice has its way in this remarkable song that whether or not Dylan's version is 100% true is not quite relevant. What matters is the point of the song. So I'll let Bob Dylan sing it his way. Here he is singing about the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll.
William Zanzinger killed poor Hattie Carroll with a cane that he twirled around his diamond ring finger at a Baltimore hotel society gathering. And the cops was called in and his weapon took from him as they rolled him in custody down to the station and booked William Zanzinger for first-degree murder. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. William Zanzinger, who had 24 years, owns a tobacco farm of 600 acres with rich, wealthy parents who provide and protect him and high office relations in the politics of Maryland, reacted to his deed with a shrug of his shoulders and swear words and sneering, and his tongue it was a snarling. And in a matter of minutes, on bail was out walking. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Hattie Carroll was a maid in the kitchen. She was 51 years old and gave birth to 10 children who carried the dishes and took out the garbage and never sat once at the head of the table and didn't even talk to the people at the table who just cleaned up all the food from the table and emptied the ashtrays on a whole other level. Got killed by a blow, lay slain by a cane that sailed through the air and came down through the room, doomed and determined to destroy all the gentle. And she never done nothing to William Zanzinger. And you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. courtroom of honor, the judge pounded his gavel to show that all's equal and that the courts are on the level, and that the strings in the books ain't pulled and persuaded, and that even the nobles get properly handled once that the cops have chased after and caught 'em, and that the ladder of law has no top and no bottom, stared at the person who killed for no reason, who just happened to be feeling that way without warning, and he spoke through his cloak most deep and distinguished, and handed out strongly for penalty and repentance, Williams and Zenger with a 6-month sentence. Ah, but you who philosophize disgrace and criticize our fears, bury the ray deep in your face, for now's the time for your tears.
Well, it's amazing, but that actually concludes our look at the album, The Times They Are A-Changin'. This hour goes so fast. But all those songs had to be played because they're very important in Dylan's catalog, and they're very, very influential for the whole entire folk canon. I got to play one more song. It's the outtake from that from those sessions, a great song called Percy's Song. And I'd like to remind you to please tune in and join us on Tuesday at 5 p.m. and again at Friday at 5 p.m. Meanwhile, thanks again for listening. I'm Tom Ryan with Heidi Morales, Earl Holder behind the board.
If you missed part of the show and you want to catch it in its entirety.
Yes, come on to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com or AmericanHitRadio.com, or also Shut Up and Listen, SHADDUPANDLISTEN.com. Thanks very much. Meanwhile, here's Dylan singing Percy's Song. Take care, folks.
Rain and the wind, oh, what is the charge of how this came to be? Turn, turn, turn again. Manslaughter in the highest of degrees. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. I sat down and wrote the best words I could write. Turn, turn, turn again. Explaining to the judge I'd be there on Wednesday night. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. Without a reply, I left by the moon. Turn, turn, turn again. And was in his chambers by the next afternoon. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. Tell me the facts, I said, without fear. Turn, turn, turn again. That a friend of mine would get 9 years. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. A crash on the highway flew a car into a field. Turn, turn, turn again. There was 4 persons killed, and he was at the wheel. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. That I know him as good as I'm knowing myself. Turn, turn, turn again. And he wouldn't harm a life that belonged to someone else. Turn, turn to the rain and the wind. mean. He just spoke out of the side of his mouth. Turn again, saying the witness who saw, he left little doubt. Turn to the rain and the wind. And it may be true he's got a sentence to serve. Turn again. But 99 years he just don't deserve. Turn to the rain and the wind. Too late for his case, it is sealed. Turn again. This sentence is passed and it cannot be repealed. Turn to the rain and the wind. But he ain't no criminal and his crime, it is none. Turn again. What happened to him could happen to anyone. Turn to the rain and the wind. Judge jerked forward and his face it did freeze. Turn again, saying, could you kindly leave my office now, please? Turn to the rain and the wind. The room was funny and I stood up so slow. Turn again. With no other choice except but far to go. Turn to the rain and the wind. I walked down the hallway and I heard his door slam. Turn again. I walked down the courthouse stairs and I did not understand. Turn to the rain and the wind. Guitar through the night to the day. Turn again. And the only tune my guitar could play was Old, the Cruel, the Rain and the Wind. Thank you.